The Laugh with Gordon Lang and Nick Rawlinson.
Now, of course, Gordon and I are generally stuck down here in the basement lab 24 hours a day, and the only time we actually get to catch the analysis is 2 hours on a Thursday evening. But some people stuck in front of their PCs are actually getting out now and then, Gordon, if you can believe that or not. There's a new craze going on. It's called geocaching, and somehow related to that is the Degree Confluence project. And we're going to chat about those with Chris O'Byrne, who joins us from all the way over in Ireland. A very good evening to you, Chris.
Very good evening, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well. Are you well?
I'm good, yes.
Now, we've actually just gone to geocaching.com, and I see you've updated the site to include news about yourself and us on the bottom there.
On the geocaching, yes. I posted a message about this interview, and it's got put up on the site.
Exactly, and they've even put a link to the real audio feed, so hello to any geocachers around the world. Now, Chris, what exactly, for anyone who doesn't know, in a nutshell, is geocaching?
Well, it's a modern-day treasure hunt where the only clue that you get is the exact spot where the treasure is hidden. And then what you have to do is you have to use a GPS satellite navigation system to go to that latitude and longitude and pick up the treasure.
Now, those GPS devices, they're like little kind of handheld machines that tell you exactly where you are in the world, don't they?
Yes, they are. They're about the size of a mid-1980s mobile phone. You turn them on, within a few minutes, they'll give you your exact latitude and longitude.
So this strikes me that this geocaching thing is dead easy. I mean, if you give out a location, all I've got to do is go for it. Is that all there is to it?
That is all there is to it, but of course the thing is that the location might not necessarily be easy to get to. Some of these caches have been placed on the side of cliffs. Some of them have been placed in the middle of city parks. So, you know, there's an element of the unknown there. There can be an element of adventure in getting to the caches.
Now, look, the best one I read about on geocaching.com was a suggestion that somebody should bury one underwater, so the only way you can get to it with scuba gear, which strikes me as a little bit nasty. What, you're obviously a geocacher yourself. Are you a finder or a hider?
Unfortunately, I've only had the chance to be a hider so far. I've hidden one stash in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Actually the first one that was hidden in Europe. And then I posted the coordinates of a very interesting piece of street furniture on the geocaching website. Nobody else in Ireland has actually hidden any geocaches yet, so I'm still waiting for my chance to be a seeker.
Now, this thing about the furniture that you said, which of course is like something like a park bench or a monument somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Isn't this called the stamped offset stash? Because you see, I know all my geocaching terminology here, because I've done my research. It's where you're not actually putting the proper coordinate on the internet, isn't it?
Yes, the stamped offset cache is where you go to a place and it actually gives you directions to that actual full cache. The one that my second cache was actually a very interesting road sign that I found on the road between Dublin and the southeast. And I decided that a very good way of, well, hopefully a good way of getting people to visit it and enjoy it as much as I have, it will be to put its coordinates up on the geocaching website. Unfortunately, nobody so far has managed to find it.
So the idea of geocaching can be to get someone to visit a particular place, or that you're actually going to hide some physical treasure somewhere in the landscape. Now, what generally is this treasure that people are tending to hide?
Well, it can be anything. It tends, obviously, to be inexpensive, but the absolute minimum that you have to hide is you have to hide a notebook and pen. Because when you find the cache, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take the notebook and pen, say hello, maybe write a little bit about yourself, maybe write a poem if you want to, write about the adventure that you had in getting to the stash, and then put that back for the next people to come across the stash, they can read that.
Now, sadly, I've not found any geocache sites in the UK at all. So if anyone wants to get out of there and be the first one, what is it they actually have to do there? If you get themselves a GPS device, how much is that going to cost?
It's cost around £100 or £150.
Now, is that Irish currency or UK currency?
Irish UK. You can get them cheaper in the States. You can order them off the internet and, you know, wait for them to cross the Atlantic.
Okay, so I get myself a GPS device.
Yeah.
I find an interesting place where I'd like to hide my treasure, preferably not in private land.
Preferably not, yes.
I get myself a big bucket so I can throw all the treasure into it,
yep.
So it doesn't get wet.
Yep.
And then I dig a hole, do I?
You can dig a hole. I hid my stash just under some rocks, and that seems to have worked. Some people find a crevasse to put the stash into, But it is a good idea to hide it from people who might be passing by. There was actually a stash in the UK. There was a stash in a public park in London. Unfortunately, it was ransacked.
Oh, well, that's London for you.
Yeah.
Someone ran off with it.
The person who hit the stash, he could see it from his house, and to his horror, he saw some kids go up to it and find it and ransack it. So the UK did have one, but unfortunately it's not there anymore.
Okay, so assuming I'm going to plant the second one in the UK, then when I've done that, all I need to do is put the GPS location for it on the geocaching website. Which is, of course, geocaching.com. It's going on, let's have a look. Now, something else you're involved in is the Degree Confluence project, which is not really as complicated as it sounds. What is a degree confluence?
A degree confluence is just where an integer line of latitude meets an integer line of longitude.
So when we're looking at an atlas, it's the lines going horizontally and vertically over the page.
Yes, it's where they meet. That is a degree confluence.
Okay.
The idea of the Degree Confluence Project is that you can use a GPS system to actually go to those confluences. And of course, you never know what you're going to find there. It could be in somebody's back garden, it could be in the middle of a stream, it could be anything. And when you get there, you take some photographs of the area and put that up onto the Degree Confluence website. So it acts as sort of as the organizers say, as an organized photographic sample of the world.
Now, you've taken two, haven't you? They're found on confluence.org, which is C-O-N, there's a lot of spelling tonight, C-O-N-F-L-U-E-N-C-E.org, two obviously from Ireland.
Yes.
We're there currently. What is the quickest way we can find them?
Well, the quickest way to find the confluence?
The quickest way to find your pictures.
Oh, to find my pictures. If you log on to confluence.org, you click on Ireland down at the left-hand side.
Right. You're there now.
Then you will see three confluences that have been found in Ireland. One by my almost at this stage competitor in Londonderry, Gordon Horton. The two that I found were 53 North 7 West and 54 North 7 West.
So they're the first two on this, and you're beating him.
Yes, I bet him. He managed to cover the two confluences in Northern Ireland, and he crossed the border into the south, and he did 54 north, 10 west.
Well, congratulations, Chris. You're in the lead. I think we're going to leave it on a high note. Thanks very much for joining us all the way from Ireland on your mobile phone. And we'll chat to you soon. If you've got any other confluences you're taking pictures of, just do email them to us, lab@lbc.co.uk. And, of course, we'd love to see where these confluences are. Are you, Gordon?
I'm just flabbergasted about the whole thing.
You're a photographer.
Quite excited about it. It takes me about 10 minutes to figure out what's going on, but now I've got the hang of it. I'm out there.
Do you think we didn't explain it well?
Well, no, I've got it now. It was explained okay. I only just really realised it myself.
And you're going
to
get out there
with it? It reminds me a lot of this game called Pi when I was a kid. This game where you had to do a treasure hunt as well. It was actually something. This golden dial was about £15,000. That you play the game on the spectrum, it would tell you where it was, and it took people about 9 months to do it.
And there's an up-to-date one, because it's a board game.
Is there?
There's £1 million prize on it.
Is
pretty
there?
Sure. Pretty sure there is. That's what I want for Christmas.
Yeah.
What, £1 million board game?
That would do.
It's the biggest development since Marconi invented radio back in 1895. Now, enjoy the experience of listening to LBC in crystal clear sound.